Good morning. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. If you just joining us right now, our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. So welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks for making us your number one choice this morning. And as we always said, for us, it's a pleasure being in your company, and for making Eagle FM your number one choice of a company. So it's, what is the day today? It's Thursday morning. It's a Thursday morning, the 21st of August, and the year is 2025. So wherever you find yourself, I hope you have a very good morning. And those who are traveling, those who are coming to our region for the Ongwediva trade fair, where those who are coming to my hometown, so make sure that you are driving. You're driving carefully. You're driving. You're being careful as you drive, and you make sure that you know. People around, the people you have, you drive, you know, in the way that, you know, you save life. And please, here we drive fine. Here we drive fine. Please don't come and drive your nonsense that you drive in your town. So please, our police force is on the road, you know, and I can tell you, they will put you in those hard stuff, you know, around your arms. So, yeah. Yeah, no, the traffic has become a little bit more on this side of the world, and please drive carefully and make sure that, you know, you really, yeah, take care when you're driving, because, slowly by slowly, the traffic is becoming more and more, as the trade fair, it's about, to start tomorrow. All right. You're welcome. Let me welcome you to the great Oshana region. So those who are coming from outside of this, everybody comes, you know, so we welcome you here. So good morning to you. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So, and every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matters and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome. This is Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So we weekday programs and weekly programs that comes to you every morning from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So, you just come at the right time. Let's get into today's segment of On This Day in Africa. So, what happened today in the history of Africa? Let's look at some of the significant events that have taken place on the 21st of August on this day in Africa. Let's get to Kenya. Let's go to Kenya. On August the 21st in 1961, Jomo Kenyatta, a prominent leader in Kenya's fight for independence, was released from prison. So his release was a major step towards Kenya's self-governance and eventually independence from British colonial rule. So Kenyatta's release energized the independence movement and paved the way for Kenya's independence in 1963. So, and if we go to Cameroon, so in 1986, Lake Nyos, a crater lake in Cameroon, experienced a limnic eruption, releasing a massive cloud of carbon dioxide. This event resulted in the death of nearly 2,000 people and wiped out four villages. So the disaster highlighted the dangers of volcanic activity in the region and the potential for a deadly gas emission from the crater lakes. And in Congo, the United Nations launched in 1961, a Congo crisis, the United Nations launched Operation Moto, a military operation in Katanga, Congo, following the secession of the mineral-rich province under Moise Tshombe. So this intensified the Congo crisis, which had begun after independence from Belgium in 1960. So and also the on the 21st of August, the fighting intensified between the South African Defence Force, SADF, and the SWAPO Armed Wing plan, also along the Angola-Namibian border. So these clashes were part of the large Cold War conflict in Southern Africa. So, and in Libya, on the 21st of August, Tripoli fell to the rebel force, effectively ending Muammar Gaddafi's 42 years rule. Rebel Storm's Green Square, later renamed Mata Square, marking one of the most significant turning point in the Arab Spring within Africa. So, and today, the 21st of August, is observed as the International Day of Remembrance and tribute to the victims of terrorism. So, recognizing the impact of terrorism, and which is a concern in parts of Africa. So today we observe the International Day of Remembrance and tribute to the victims of terrorism. All right, so that's all what we have for this segment, this day in Africa. So those are some of the significant events that happened in the course of history of Africa on the 21st of August. So, and what is our thought for the day on Thursday, August the 21st? What is our thought for the day? So, the slave who loves his chains has no chance of being free. The slaves who loves his chains has no chance of being free. Now, the proverb carries a very powerful message that is, true liberation cannot occur when one find comfort, security, or identity in their own subjugation. So a slave here on this proverb symbolizes anyone in a situation of bondage. Could be historical, could be psychological, it could be social, it could be emotional. So, and the chains represent the constraint or system that restrict freedom. So loving those chains implies accepting one's limitation, even finding comfort in them. So liberation is not always about breaking physical chain. It's often about shaking off internalized beliefs or societal conditioning. So slave who loves his chain has no chance of being free. So hopefully that would help you for decision and choices that you make today throughout the course of the day, that you are not comfortable, that you are not that you're not a slave to your internalized beliefs or societal conditioning. So, and that you haven't you haven't accept your limitation, you know, and found comfort in them. So, all right. So, all right. Some technical stuff here. Let me sort that out. So, good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned in. On unpacking the day.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And you know, when you're live, there's always something that you know comes up and get to you. All right, so now what we can expect today, what we have today on the show, the governor Governor Werner Sinimbo is talking about unlocking the region's massive potential. But haven't we heard about untapped potential for decades? So this is a story in yesterday edition of The Villages, and we're gonna unpack that. So, and at 9 o'clock, we will have a guest, and our guest is an investment specialist, and we're going to look at, can green finance solve Namibia's energy woes? Can green finance solve Namibia's energy problems? So we will actually have an interview, a guest, that's around 9 o'clock. Make sure that you stay tuned for that. It will be really, really, it's not something that you need to miss. All right. Maybe you're a SME and there are funders that could be available for you. You never know. So make sure that you are tuned in at 9 o'clock for that coming up interview at 9. So, and if you still have time, the SADC summit in focus, you know, this is something that I wanted to do yesterday, but of course we didn't have enough time for that. But if we have time, we're going to look at that. So what I want to look at that specifically there is that there were speeches at the summit, but what I want to look at is some of the things that the president, who made speeches, that they have said, whether those actually line up with the reality on the ground in SADC. So that's the focus on that one. So when we come back, so we get into our first item. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, and please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on X, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp. So engage with us on these social media platforms. And as I always said, we want to hear from you. So we want to engage with you. Make sure you leave a like, you leave a comment, and engage with us on our social platforms. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, you know, get yourself a free copy of The Villager that comes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what you need to do, you just have to send, you simply have to send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And as I always said, make sure that you save that as a contact number, because we don't want to send this, we don't want this to be as your spam on your email. So make sure that, you know, you have that named, you know, saved in your contact number. So as I said, The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you get yourself a free copy of The Villager. So, and as always, if you are in an area where our frequencies are still not available, make sure that you download that app. You can download that from a Google Play, you can download from Play Stores. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM, mobile app, on your phone. So you have, and as I said, there are so many features, on that app. So make sure that you do that. And if you're a business person, and you want to advertise your business, or you just want to, you know, have your event or function or workshop or conference, whatever it is, exposed to public via live streaming and maybe broadcasting, so do contact us as well. And telephone number is 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So good morning, and thanks for joining us. So, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. It is your host, Mike Oshoveli, live in the Ontangwa studio. So good morning, and wherever you find yourself in this land of the brave, you're welcome. So this morning, I want us to look at the story out of the Kavango West. All right. And please remember, at 9 o'clock, we have a guest, and we will be looking at green financing. Make sure that you actually, stay tuned, for that. It will be very, 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 very interesting. So now, at this point in time, before we get to that, let's look at, I want us to look at this story out of the Kavango West. And this is a story by Anna Kleta, Haikera, in yesterday's edition of The Villager. Now, it's a proactive governor of Kavango West region, the governor Verna Sinibo. She is pushing, okay, in the article, she's actually pushing for an investment committee. Now, she's talking about unlocking the region's massive potential. So, and we hear about fertile soil, the beautiful Kavango River, you know, and opportunities in farming and tourism, So the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, the NIPDB, is on board for this. And there's also talking about spreading wealth beyond the usual hotspot. And do you know what are those usual hotspots? So of your usual hotspots are like Windhoek, Swakopmund, Lüderitz. So, and at one point, actually, the NIPDP have that campaign of going actually to the region, and possibly this is one of the of that case, where because they feel that the investment only revolve around this usual hotspot of Windhoek, Swakopmund, Lüderitz, or Wavish Bay. So now, and from this, it's all positive. It's all forward looking. So, but now, let's talk about this. So we have heard about untapped potential for many years. Okay. Now, maybe the question that we're asking here is this time any different? All right. Is this time any different? Or is this just another, now we're talking about a committee. Is this just another committee, another meeting, another report? And that report is just destined for a dust on a shelf. So let's stay tuned as we unpack this. Let's get into this now. So, all right, let's get into the meat of it. Let's get into the crocodile meat of it, because we are on that side of the country. Let's get into the meat, crocodile meat of it. So now, the governor of Kavango West has made a passionate plea. She says the region has water, the region has land, the region has a river, everything an investor could want, you know. The plan is to create a regional investment committee to make it all happen. So I want you to pause for a minute. Okay. Just wanted to pause for a minute. Look, and let's look at the number that maybe should have been the real headline. This is in the article. So the article mentions almost casually an unemployment rate in Kavango West of between 52 to 58. Okay, so let's link this to the whole what actually the governor is talking about now. So the unemployment rate in Kavango West is between 52 to 58% now, and I want you to think about that, 58%, all right, 58%. Sometimes percentage it doesn't make you feel the reality itself. Okay, that's what I want to say. Sometimes when you hear percentage, it doesn't make you feel that reality itself. So it's like a blanket you put over the situation. Because what 58 mean, so what 58% mean is that for every two young person, for every two young people you meet on the street in Kurekuru or Kahenge, you know, those towns, you know, those, you know, one of them, or maybe two, or even both, has no job, has no income, has no clear path forward. That's what it means. That 58% mean that for every two young people you meet on the street in Kurenkuru or Katwiti, is the Katwiti on that side? Yeah. Or Katwiti. Eh? One of them, or maybe even both of them, has no job, no income, no clear path forward. This is a crisis. Guys, this is a crisis. That is the real story here. Yeah? That's the real story here. The call for investment isn't just a good idea. It is a desperate cry for help. Yeah? It's not just an idea. Good idea, let's have investment. No. It is actually a desperate cry for help. Yeah? So, while the talk is about potential, all right? While the talk is about potential, the reality on the ground is one of severe hardship. Now, that brings me now to my first big question, all right? So, and I know some of you won't like my questions. So, but I want you to think. This is just for us to think and really, you know, become engaging and raise that consciousness. Okay? So, now my question is, we have been independent for over 30 years, over 34 years, 35 years. So, Kavango West has had that beautiful river and that fertile soil for all that time. So, my question is now, why now? And you may ask, why not now? And why has it taken this long for this level of urgency now? Why has it taken so long, you know, for this level of urgency? Seriously. Eh? Is it because the unemployment numbers have become so shocking? Eh? They can no longer, and these numbers, we can no longer hide it. We can no longer ignore it. Is it because of that? Not now. Now we can't ignore this. So we have to do something. Is that the case? Or is it that we are finally, or maybe we are finally seeing a genuine shift in political will, you know? So the new administration now looking, no. Guys, we actually, there's this genuine shift in political will. Could be that the case? So we will continue after this commercial. So stay there. Stay tuned.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financial Inclusion, where money meets access, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion. Financial Inclusion, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. And today we are unpacking a story from Kavango West that we found in yesterday's edition of The Villager by Anakleta. Hi Kera. So make sure that you subscribe for the Villager, and you know, to do that you just send your email, your name and your email to 081 241-44. So, and you will be receiving the publication for free every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, do that before Friday so that you get the Friday one as well tomorrow. So, So now, as I said, we're looking at, so what I'm looking at is how many, you know, is the, as I said, we have independence for over 30 years. And Kabango has been always beautiful, has always this beautiful river, have always this vital land, and all that time. So, and my question was that why the agency now? Why did it take so long for this kind of level of urgency? And I look at two things, and I base myself on the two stories. So on the stories, and think, okay, is it because now we can see we can't hide anymore because the unemployment numbers of 58% among the youth. It's shocking, and we can no longer ignore that. Is it because we can no longer ignore that, and then we think it's a crisis, we need to do something? Or is it that we are finally seeing a genuine shift in the political world? Maybe the new administration now see this as genuinely that we need to do something for this region. So, let's also be honest with ourselves, really be honest with ourselves. I mean, that's the best place to start, all right? So when we are honest with ourselves, how many times have we heard leaders talk about untapped potential? It is now a national catchphrase, you know? It has become a catchphrase. We have untapped potential in tourism. We have untapped potential in agriculture. We have untapped potential in mining. We have untapped potential in fishing. You know, it has become a national catchphrase. Eh? But potential, it doesn't put food on the table. Potential, it doesn't put food on the table. Plan don't pay medicine at the pharmacy. It doesn't pay medicine on the pharmacy. So committees don't build factories. What does this? Action does. You know? Action does. So when we hear about yet another committee being formed, well, it's fair for us to be a little skeptical, isn't it? So we need to ask, what will this committee do that hasn't been tried before? What would they do? That hasn't been tried before. So as I said, we have the plans we have. And in Namibia, we have the best constitution. We have the best plans. We have the best policies. We do have the very best. Yeah. But we don't eat. As I said, 58% of those young people, those recess, I said, two people you see in, two young people in Katwichi or in Kurenkuru or whatever, they are unemployed. They just, you know, wandering around. So, and this, I said, plans are okay. We need plans, but we need to translate those plans into the potential into food on the table. That's why they are there. The plan should be able to be translated to provide food on the table. So the plan must be able to pay medicine at the pharmacy. That means, you know, people now be able to get work, to be able to be employed and things like that, so that they can be able to pay their medicine at the pharmacy. Because there are no medicines in the hospitals. As I said, the committee don't build factories. If they are there, they must now be able to help, you know, to make sure that people, you know, young people get finance to be able to build factories or whatever. Action. That's what we need. So that exactly what we need. All right. So. Now, let's also get to the, how do they call it? They said the elephant in the room. No, not the elephant. Let's say the crocodile in the room. we are in Kavango. So the crocodile in the room. Eh? So why can't, if it can be an elephant, we can also have a crocodile in the room. Eh? Now, the governor mentioned some specific ideas, you know, agro-processing, manufacturing, and even crocodile farming, you know, crocodile farming. So I love the creativity, you know. So crocodile farming. So it is a tangible idea. But this is where we need to move from dreams. This is exactly what we need to do. From dreams to details, you know. So we know crocodile farming. Eh? Now, let's imagine, all right? So let's imagine you are a young entrepreneur from Kavango West, okay? You have a brilliant idea for, what is that? For a mango juice factory, all right? So you have the land, you have the ambition. What happened next? Eh? First, do you have... Now, this is the things that we're talking about. When we talk about plans and things like that. So this is what I want us now to think, you know. So now, as I said, you have an idea of mango juice factory. You have the land and you have this ambition. And what is next? Now, the thing is that, do you have a reliable electricity to run the factory 24/7? In that area, do you have that reliable electricity? So if you don't, the factory, the juice factory in that area, forget about it. Or will load shedding spoil your produce? It could, when you don't have that reliable, it will spoil your produce. Secondly, think also this. What about the road? You remember the story of the two kids, of the two children that we covered here at one point, who died because first of all, the roads are not good. They are not available, you know, transport where you are. You know, that sad stories that we covered it here, you know, because of the roads. So now, can you get your fresh mangoes from the farm to the factory? And then your, let's say, for example, your finished juice from the factory to the market, market in Grootfontein or Rundu or Windhoek, can you quickly and the business-wise, quickly and cheaply? If the roads are not good, you can't do it quickly and cheaply. Eh? So those now, when, as I said, plans are okay, but there are other, you know, there are other issues that we really need to think serious. Not just, okay, there's a plan, this plan says this, and then that, oh, hallelujah. Eh? Realistically, let's think realistically. That's the only way we can be able to change things. So when we hear this plan, when you also ask, okay, what about this? What about reliable electricity? How would we be able to do that if we don't have that? What about our roads? If our roads are not improved, our road network is not good, we cannot be able to do business. What, you know? And what about water? It's something we talked about yesterday. What about water rights? For example, if you are in the river is there, yes, but who control access to that water for a large scale irrigation? Who control? Eh? So if you have to do the large scale irrigation, you don't just, you know, because there are law between countries and the biggest one, who does the money, where does the money come from? That's also another thing. Think about all this is where does the money come from? So now, will our local banks take a chance on a startup, really? Would they take a chance on a startup in Kurenkuru? Eh? Or do they see it as too risky? Do they see that as too risky? So you see, you know, sometimes, you know, people probably would hate you, would hate me for being pessimistic. But I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just being realistic in terms of like, there are people who might want to, as I said, they might have want to have a farm, a mango a factory in Kurenkuru. But of course, the bank, the local banks takes, they won't take chance on that. They will think that's too risky in Kurenkuru. Yeah? So these are real, real world obstacles. These are, and unless we deal with some of those, as I said, the committee, okay, investment committee is great for producing brochures and hosting meetings, you know, but can it fix the potholes in the gravel road? Yeah? Can it guarantee stable electricity? That's what we need. Can it cut through the bureaucracy, red tape at the ministry that hold up your business permit for months? And this is where the NIDPD comes in. The article mentioned their public investment manager highlighted how investment is stuck in just three regions. Investment are stuck in just three regions, as we said at the beginning. It's stuck in commerce, it's stuck in Erongo, it's stuck in Karas. You know, that's where you have green hydrogen, oil and gas, and all that. So the investment, it's obscure because it's only in those regions. The rest of the regions, no. And from here, this is a brave and honest admission. It's a brave and honest admission. It is the core of our national inequality. Because that's the core of our national inequality. But acknowledging the problem, I think, is the first step and not the last, actually. So the NIPDB. Also claim Namibia is the number one destination for foreign direct investment in Africa. All right? And that's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. But let's challenge that a bit. Let's challenge that a little bit. So what does that mean for that average Namibian in Kurenkuru? Is that money flowing into big capital intensive project like oil exploration or green hydrogen, which employ relatively few people, you know? So, or is it flowing into a small and medium sized business in Kavango West that can create hundreds of sustainable jobs? So, the foreign investment is only a victory. It's only a victory if the person in Katwitwi feels the benefit. It is only a victory if the person in Kahenge feels the benefit. Otherwise, it's just another number on a report in an office in Windhoek. So, and this brings me to the most critical point of all. When we say investment, who are we talking about? Eh? So some people think that's clear. Who are we talking about? When we say investment, who are we talking about? So the article speaks about attracting local and foreign investors. Okay? This is a tricky balancing act. I'm going to explain what I mean. Now, Let's have two scenarios, okay? You have scenario one. A big foreign company comes in. They want to set up a massive commercial farm. They have the money, the technology, the expertise, all right? So they promise jobs, but what kind of jobs? Okay? Are these lower wage seasonal labor jobs? Do they profit from that farm? Do they profit from that farm? Stay in Kavango West to build better school. So now the community now in Kavango, do they profit from that? Like that, it building better schools or clinics or do they get wired? Now their profit get wired to bank account in Europe or in Asia. So, does the company bring in its own managers, for example, or does it train and promote local Namibians? What is our experience? I don't have to tell you. What is our experience? So when we're talking about now that investment, so what investment? Now, scenario two, let's take to scenario two, okay? We focus on empowering local people, local businesses. So the NIPDB says the new committee will help local people, quote unquote, package development opportunities, unquote. So, well, this sounds great. It sounds really great. But packaging an idea is one thing. Financing it is another. And that has been a problem. That has been the problem, my dear. That has been the problem. So will this new push for investment be accompanied by real financing, by real support, by really finance support for Namibian entrepreneurs? So will there be, let's say, low interest loans? Will there be training? Will be there mentorship to help the local farmer scale up? Or local tour guide, especially in that area, buy their own fleet of boats. Maybe you just need fleet of boats to be able to, the visitors that are come, the tourists that are comes, that you have your boat that, taking them to different, with a boat. So, and because here is the danger. Without a clear, the America first strategy, without a clear Namibia first strategy, without that Namibia first strategy, a big investment drive can lead to local people being pushed out. That can lead, actually, can drive local people being pushed out. They can become, our local people can become actually spectators in their own economy, like in many sectors, watching others getting rich from their land and their rivers. We're just watching other people getting rich. So we have to be careful about this investment because they can lead to local people being pushed out. And we just stand as spectators in our own economy, in our own land, in our own rivers. So we must insist that any investment, foreign or local, comes with strings attached, concrete target for local employment, mandatory skill transfer program, a significant portion of ownership of local communities. Okay? So a commitment to reinvesting profit back into the region. So we must, have those string attached. Please. So let's not open the door or hope for, let's just not open the door and hope for the best. So let's set the rule for the house before we invite the guest in. So what do you think? Should we prioritize foreign cash or local ownership? It is a debate we need to have. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm fine.
So what happened yesterday?
No. Uncle Bona, let's not get that. So let's contribute to what is today. So please. Okay. So if you have anything to contribute to where you are today?
Excuse me?
Do you have anything to contribute to what we have today?
Mike, do you think I'll just call in the program if I don't have anything to contribute?
Okay, contribute then. Go ahead.
But don't tell me at the end of the day that no,
Uncle Bana, let's talk the subject on this thing. All right?
Yeah, please.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go ahead, that one. So, yes, I don't know. Maybe you know better than I. Hello?
Yes, we are listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I'm hearing myself from the background.
Yeah, I don't know where the problem is, but yeah, go ahead.
So, when I come in here, I want to contribute to the topic on the table. If I'm going out of the topic, it's simple to advise me I'm going out of the topic.
Uncle Bana, so please contribute to the topic. That's what I'm asking now.
That's what I'm doing, my brother. Please, that's what exactly what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm not talking about anything different. Is that fine?
Yeah, fine. That's what I'm
waiting. I don't want to get into confrontation.
Yeah. I don't want that as well. This is radio, so people are listening. Yeah.
Yes, but they cannot just be listening on your side and on my side. There's nothing being heard about it. So the issue of where the money is coming from, is the money plucked from the tree? Like we pluck the mango tree? So money is worked for. You need to create money, isn't it? That's not how economy works. So you need to interact with me.
Yeah, no. We're listening. Go ahead. Yeah.
Because you were asking about where is the money going to come from? Where is the electricity going to come from? So, of course, the money must be created if it's not plucked from the tree. Me and you know. I and you know. So how do we then create money? It's for you to mobilize, whether it's human capital or financial resources that need to be created. Because most of your questions that you ask, I just hope you will have the answer already. I don't know why you ask this question. If you do not know, we can also sensitize you or ourselves, including yourself, so that you know how to create money, how to create wealth. Even the land that you are talking about. Now, I know from Ongwediva, you have the land, isn't it? A piece of land. But many a times we have the land, that asset, land, where every human being depends on survival. But you are still asking the question, where do you get the land? Is it the land from converting this 11,000 hectares of land to 130,000 hectares of land? Perhaps that you are asking where would the land come from and the electricity? I'm just asking you, please, if you can answer.
No, I just want you to finish your comment and then we can go on with another one.
Question. If you don't have an answer, just say no, I don't have an answer.
I don't have an answer. Go ahead.
But are you criticizing that the way the land come from? But you have the land, but...
Man. As I said, here is not a debate, you know. So come and share your ideas. And if this is continue, I'm not going to allow him to come here anymore. All right? All right. So it's 50 minutes past the hour of 8. So now, all right, so let's have quickly, we'll come back from this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Ikelefe Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. kara omukwashilipaleki gwimwepo yomooprograma detu moambo dhengela Selma konola 081-336-5 Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Our time is 57 minutes past the hour of... Okay, let's quickly... good morning.
Morning, how are you today?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
You have 3 minutes before we go to our guest now.
Oh, okay. The question of why the idea now?
Yeah.
My answer to that would have, or my suggestion why to that is, remember we are different human beings in leadership.
Yeah.
So you might have an idea, even when you, where you are, that you can be, have an idea, but you don't have the power to implement that idea.
Yeah.
It just depends on your boss. So if you are reporting to someone, even if your idea is good, there's nothing you can do. So the opportunity when it arises and you are given that opportunity now, then you can come up with your ideas. And that's why you might say, no, but the guy or the person also was inside the same, but why were they not? The ideas are given, but the people were in leader, who were in forefront, who were in power, who could now say, okay, let's implement it. We did not have the willingness of doing it. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So these are some of the things that's why we are seeing certain things are coming up now. Thinking maybe they are coming up now, but ideas were given. But the state of agency in the, some of the environments, how it was created, the others wanted just to benefit for themselves. Look at the concept of the fishing quotas.
Yeah.
You can go into it with debated many times on it, that you find only families are in. A son, starting from the father, the son, the daughter, the grand, you know. And it was just because of the environment. Even the person, another person could say, no, but why can't we give it to regions? Then she would say, no. Who told you that the regions, did you hear the councillors complaining? And if the councillor comes, maybe the regional governor is given some tips or whatever.
Yeah.
Then it goes. So the ideas used to die there. But now you get people who are coming and say, no, now we are, it's our time. What we wanted to implement it here now, let's implement it. And the issue of money, where does it, could it come from? I heard you talking about local banks.
Yeah.
I don't know which are our local banks here. Do we have got local banks or international banks?
Most of them are international anyway.
We don't have a local bank.
Yeah.
If we had a local bank, we could, that money would have been in the country.
Yeah.
Yes, our money is never in the country. Our money is outside the country.
Okay. So yes, let's come later. You can come later. And then we can continue.
We can continue. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. All right. Let me quickly see if I can get my guest, and then we can continue. After, you can still come later after our conversation. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omotiha, utekirwa kaguna, matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sanana, longeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingakote samwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuinemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahi tatuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, good morning Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day right here on your favorite Namibia radio station, Eagle FM. So, where we discuss the latest news and events affecting Namibia. So, Namibia is pushing towards a greener, more self-reliant energy future. So, we import nearly 70% of our electricity from outside the country, eating right into our budget. But imagine flipping that script with our endless sun and wind. So that's what actually our guest article was all about. So Namibia's Green Finance Revolutions, a blueprint for Africa's energy's future. Joining us now is the author herself, Rebecca Shipepe, a client analyst at Standard Bank and Namibia's Corporate and Investment Banking. Good morning, Rebecca. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Great. We're pleasure to have you. So, okay, now, can you walk us through what green project financing really means in simple terms for a Namibian listener, someone who's just listening now? What is this green project financing really?
So in simple terms, green project financing is funding which can be in the form of either loans or grants, usually targeted at projects that benefit the environment. So like your solar and wind farms. And these funds usually come from varied resources like your development bank, climate funds, the government, as well as private investors.
Yeah. So why do you think Namibia is now, because you mentioned that Namibia is becoming a leader in this for Africa, what is unique about our approach?
I believe we are emerging as a green finance leader in Africa due to our proactive and long-term goals in terms of green energy. Our approach is also being guided by our NDP6, which highlights, energy security, climate resilience, and unlocking green industrial value chains. And I think with that, what makes us unique is, one, the alignment of green finance and that vision of energy security, which I think gives us clear direction.
Mm.
And then two is abundant renewable resources. We have some of the highest solar radiation in the world.
Yeah.
And really consistent wind speeds, especially along our coastline.
Yeah.
And more so, strong partnerships. There are strong partnerships being fostered between the government and private investors. So a marriage of all these factors put us in the running to becoming a leader in green project financing and ultimately green energy.
Yeah, so now How does the Namibia's natural advantage, like in solar and wind resources, now contribute to this potential as a leader in renewable energy?
I think we, like right now, we are what, two steps. We are two steps now away from summer.
Yeah.
And I believe we enjoy some great sunshine, although it can be too hot.
Yeah, sometimes can be too hot, really.
And we have some strong, consistent wind conditions. So with like such high radiance, such high solar radiance, I think that serves a great advantage for us, because then we can produce electricity and like more power at very lower costs as compared to other countries. So like we can develop large scale plants, and that gives us competitive edge, because then it's costing us less. Even though right now we're trying to channel more money into those projects, I think we have the source already. So then that kind of takes us already like five steps ahead.
Yeah. So we import nearly about 70% of electricity. So how is green finance helping us now cut down and build our own power?
So green finance is providing, you know, funding to build our own local solar and wind farms. And I think that reduces our reliance on the imports.
Yeah.
And with green funding, we can generate our own power and become our own energy source. For example, the World Bank's $138 million loan, it supports the Our Skokkerk Worm transmission line, which is a large scale battery storage system.
Yeah.
And also like support offers the technical assistance, which contributes to the reduction of power imports and just strengthens our grid reliance. So I think with that, it really puts us, it reduces the amount of electricity that we import. But I mean, it's not really a far-fetched goal, but we can definitely reduce that number.
All right. Now, do you have some example of green project financing initiative in Namibia?
Yes. So there's been a couple. There's the first of its kind, the Erongo Battery Energy Storage System, which is a 58 megawatts BSS by NamPower at the side of Omaru.
Yeah.
And this was funded by the German Development Bank and NamPower. And then we have 100 megawatts plant. I think that's actually the biggest, eh?
Yeah,
we have 100 megawatts plant for NamPower Solar, their power station in Rosh Pina, and this was funded through a concessional loan by the German Development Bank. So concessional loans are your long-term loans that are low interest. And then there's also the Oshikoto Biomass Power Station, which makes use of encroacher bush as biomass. So that's being funded by the FDA, which is the French Development Agency, as well as government equity. So there's been a couple. These are like just a few of them, but I think we're making really great strides in that regard.
So now you call this actually international wins. And how did the World Bank, for example, that amount, 138.5 million loan, in 2024, change things for our solar and our wind projects?
Ooh, that loan was a big step, as it gave Namibia some capital to fast check new solar and wind projects.
Yeah.
What changed was it built the Our Skokkerk Worm transmission, as I mentioned just in a bit, and this will enable, you know, renewable energy to be transported to other regions from the south. And then it has also installed a utility-scale battery energy storage system, which I believe is crucial for grid stability and just managing sporadic new renewable power. And then it has also NamPower. It has also like given NamPower to the ability to offer technical assistance, you know, to improve training, upskilling as well as like offer support during this energy transition.
Yeah. So there's also climate investment funds of $250 million. So how will that actually boost our green hydrogen dreams?
So maybe just to start with a bit of context. So Namibia was selected as one of four pilot countries under the Climate Investment Fund Industry Decarbonization Program. And what this program does is it entails having Namibia having access up to this $250 million in highly concessional loans. And then, and so this concessional loans, again, it's the low interest long-term loan. Mm. And in terms of now boosting our green hydrogen dreams, the fund, I believe, will support large-scale infrastructure for green hydrogen. Attract more funding, you know, if someone gives you and then someone else will want to give you as well, like that kind of notion. So I think it will attract more funding from other international institutions like the IFC, International Finance Corporation, as well as the African Development Bank.
Yeah.
And you know, future looking, maybe also just build a competitive green hydrogen export industry while creating jobs at that. So, yeah, so definitely those, I think that's how it will boost green hydrogen dreams.
Yeah, my concern is always how this fund actually make a difference in a place like in the rural areas where we have actually a problem of electricity. So my question, how these funds make a difference in place like that?
So we have the Environmental Investment Fund, which has started their Green Impact Facility in March 2023.
Mm.
And through this program, they have allocated around $72 million and has created, I think, over 500 jobs. And like through now giving loans and funding SMEs that are aimed at renewable energy, agriculture, and most of these SMEs are all in rural areas. So I think that's how the rural areas develop and benefit.
Mm.
And also just more off-grid systems in homes. Currently we have a lot of rural areas without power, but if we can channel or if these funds are channeled towards our rural areas and just have home solar kits and especially in schools as well as clinics. And then the battery storage systems that have been funded through this fund also ensure like power security in terms of if the grid fails, then either a school or a clinic can always fall back on this energy that's stored on the batteries.
Yeah. So we will have a commercial break quickly, and then we continue. I still
have
some questions.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You'll get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. And there is this SGD Namibia One Fund. What is that SDG Namibia One Fund all about? And how is it targeting that 1 billion euro for clean energy? That's quite a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think you should even convert it to NADA. but the SDG One Fund is the Sustainable Development One Fund, which is a blended finance vehicle managed by non-H2 fund managers and joint efforts between EIF, Invest International, as well as Climate Fund managers.
Mm.
And in terms of its purpose, the plan is to mobilize the 1 billion euros for renewable energy, de-risk private investment by blending both your public and the private capital. And it has already made great progress, where they have secured 223 million euros, and also, they've also gotten institutions like the EU, the government of the Netherlands to pledge additional funds. So it's some sort of like, I don't want to say it's like a trust fund for Namibia, but for renewable energy.
All right. So, and then the EIF Green Impact Facility, it sounds very, very helpful for small businesses, but how are the SME using it for, let's say, for off-grid solars and water-saving technology?
So the SMEs, they are using them for, say, workshops, their lodges, their farms, for, say, solar water pumps, and then they also invest in water-saving irrigation systems, like you mentioned. And I think it has enabled SMEs to access funds without the traditional collateral and, you know, all the requirements that come with getting funding. I think EIF has really kind of bridged the gap and married funds and the SMEs without any constraints in that regard. Yeah.
So now your bank, your Standard Bank, you know, how does it make, you know, green loan easier for everyday entrepreneurs?
How does it make green loans easier for everyday entrepreneurs?
Yeah, your bank, for example.
So we have different functions as a bank. So we have the enterprise banking as well as our business banking unit. So these make, it's more on client-centric solutions.
Yeah.
So it's really based or dependent on the kind of business that our clients do, and we analyze and assess exactly the need for the funds and then see how best we can assist them in that regard.
So what are the barriers do now SMEs still face in getting green finance?
So I think the first thing is a lack of collateral, man. As an SME, they're very, 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 very rare do they have your traditional collateral that a lot of,
exactly. And yes. Why do you still actually make that as a criteria? Oh, man.
So I think it's just, you know, it's processes, man. and I think, so it's lack of traditional collateral, formal credit history. So you can just imagine an SME doesn't have collateral, so then their credit history would also, it's very much dependent on the collateral. So then an SME would want funding, but then they don't have any credit history. So then that kind of, you know, makes it very difficult. And then the other thing is complex application processes that require technical and financial documentation, which like SMEs really have. Sometimes, you know, some institutions would ask for ESG reports, for example, and an SME really would have that. And then there is also lack of awareness in terms of green finance products. And maybe worth a mention is just bankable or like fundable proposals. And I think that ties into like gaps in capacity as well as awareness. So I think very rarely do SMEs know how to put together a good pitch or a good proposal for funding. So maybe that could be like a, I don't know, maybe an education gap. Yeah, so I think that's something that also we can look at, or just something that needs to be looked into. And
Exactly. If we have someone, the SME, you know, entrepreneurs listening now, what is that they need to look into to be able to access this green finance?
I think definitely have a good pitch, man, and a good proposal. have a good proposal, have, I want to say, ascertain that the business that you really want to get funding for is in alignment with, you know, your green energy, green finance, and really paint a picture that it is, align your intention with the funding in terms of we are trying to channel more power into the rural areas as well as just be more energy secure. So I would say really get close to the different, like EIF, for example, they, with the Green Impact Facility, that's a really good institution to be close to, and just get a lot of information, all the information in terms of how their products work and how the process is to follow to get funding from them. Have the business outlined well, so that investors have great appetite for you,
Okay, so now this is a journey. This green finance is a journey. What are some of the challenges that remain in Namibia's green finance journey?
I think the main challenge that we have is, and that's why I think it prompted me to have more interest in the green financing as well as project financing, is very high upfront startup costs or capital for infrastructure, like a solar plant and the battery system. So I think that's a really great challenge. Slow project approval, so regulatory framework that also comes into play. Local capacity in terms of jobs, you know, in the engineering, in the procurement. So I think we have seen now since the cusp of energy transition in Namibia, we have seen that more people are getting into, you know, energy degrees, energy fields, into engineering, right, specific to the energy field. So I think that's also the challenge there. But I think we're making great progress as a country in just
moving
the dial.
Yes, go ahead.
I think we're making great progress in terms of shifting the dial with, you know, local capacity and just trying to, everyone wants to understand where are we going, what is this, you know. So I think we're making progress, but I believe it's still a challenge in terms of the energy transition.
Yeah, and how does the collaboration between the financial institution and maybe, let's say, local innovation contribute to Namibia's green finance success?
I believe that collaboration is great, as it ensures solutions are relevant and financially stable, especially when you have financial institutions on board and startups as well. So, like, institutions like EIF, I keep referencing EIF, provide tailored solutions. And I think there is a marriage between the financial institution as well as now innovation and startup hub. So that can sort of give us a product of, say, innovation hubs or incubator hubs, because now we know that there is funding for that. So we can, say, bring up solutions for, like, smart irrigation systems and some smart solar systems. So there's always something, especially in the tech space, there's always something, there's always a way to make something more, like, digitalize it, make it more faster, make it more, the word is not running away from me, but efficient. Yeah. So I think when the funds are there, then the innovators will be a bit more motivated, and then, you know, that builds like a hub for solutions. And then there's someone there that's saying, yes, here's the fund. So,
all right. So now, what is your vision for Namibia's energy future, you know, and how do you see green finance playing a role in achieving that vision?
So my vision for Namibia, it's not impossible, but... not impossible, but...
Let's dream, you know?
Not impossible, but I believe we can... My vision is that we are 100% energy secure.
Yeah.
And get our electricity from clean sources. And just, you know, I ended the article by saying...
I think you're thinking of your own pocket here.
Oh, no. So I ended the article saying that, you know, Namibia is... It should be our sun and our energy, and our sun and our wind is where the future of energy in Africa should be written on.
Mm.
So I think I would want us to be a leading exporter of like green hydrogen, and you know, with the transmission lines, be able to just have renewable energy, especially in the rural areas, and also just to have thriving communities, you know, yeah. Especially in the rural areas, like powered by, you know, the off-grid energy, and ultimately, you know, create a myriad of jobs for the youth.
Yeah. So anything, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my vision.
Yeah, that's your vision, yeah. So,
that's my vision.
Yeah. And finally, anything else about the green financing maybe that you deem to be good information to our listeners that maybe I haven't asked you?
I believe I've touched most of the areas, and the questions were very thorough. But I think it's something that it's a very relevant thing. I think very relevant thing, because we are focusing on the energy transition. However, we are not focusing on the engine or the fuel for the energy, which is finance.
Mm.
And us being a very small country, we have to be strategic in that regard, and sort of also just mirror how other countries are doing it, how they're able to, you know, have less imports in terms of their power.
Yeah.
So I think it's something that needs more focus and more conversations around it. Yeah, and I think we are uniquely positioned with abundant solar and wind resources.
Yeah.
And so like green finance will really give us the tools to turn that potential into long-term value.
Yeah, definitely. So, Rebecca, thank you for joining us this morning and sharing your insight on Namibia's green finance revolution. So your articles offer a really a compelling blueprint for Africa's energy future. And we appreciate your contribution to this important conversation. And thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So thank you and have a very nice day.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day too, Mike.
All right. All right. That is Rebecca Shipepe. The Standard Bank Namibia, Standard Bank Namibia's corporate and investment banking. So, client analyst. All right. So you are welcome now to come through and have your say, your comment on the discussion as we had it. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
You must stop intimidating me, please.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, morning, Master Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, my brother. So, let me about you and the speaker.
Yeah?
You on Bluetooth, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm driving. Okay, but I don't think it would interfere.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mike.
Hmm.
When it comes to finance, of green,
green finance, hydrogen and all those other things. Yeah,
yeah, all those. I think the informing is very skeptical. We're supposed to be everywhere, every lip supposed to talk about it. But when it comes to information decentralization, is that we are not getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even like a special commercial banker coming through, let us publicate this information. And also the information can reach every corner of Namibia, especially when it comes to constituency for councillors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because we are having a lot of people, my friend, we are having a good ideas
yeah, and
how to come around
Yeah, and the money is available. So there are money available.
Yeah, you see now.
Mm.
Those are things which we need also. And I think also it's a hard time also for our vocation training to come on board.
Mm.
I see that some of them are involved in one when it comes to solar energy installation and so on. They are training people now, but I don't see much when it comes to wind power.
Yeah,
we need to start training people when it comes to windmill. Because remember one thing, that when we are, the green hydrogen is need a lot of powers, and some of the windmill are going to be established. And now, for us, we need to prepare our people.
Yeah.
Yeah, for it. Because it doesn't make sense every time the people, they come with their experts, and the end of the day, we are just getting real, this is small jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with really not even a good paying. Because now remember one thing, that this is a partnership between Namibia and Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Germans, they are already training their people. I mean, they are even advanced in that stage, long time. And we are yet introducing it to our, in our vocation, not yet even there.
Yeah, no, we haven't started yet, you know. So,
yeah, but
We have sent a couple of people for training. I think there are a number of people that have been actually.
I heard something like that, I heard something like that. That students, some students have been sent out.
Yeah,
it's the same also with when it comes to oil and gas.
Mm.
Yeah, people need to be trained, because I see even some they left to India.
Yeah.
But seriously, I think it's a hard time also to take from the lecture from India to come and.
If we want to have a meaningful contribution, we have to be trained.
Exactly.
Yeah, and really, because that's even if we demand that we want our local ownership, we want our people actually to be in a management position and all that. If we don't have the capital, you know, the human capital, then definitely, you know, that won't happen.
And this is the area which I see much of our Namibian people, is that we don't invest in our human capital.
Yeah.
It's where we are losing a lot. Because up to now, things which are supposed to be done by Namibian, we have some area where the foreigners are dominating. When we are saying the other program which you start with, you say, no, now we become a crowd which are watching the soccer players are playing. We are no more involved in the field.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening even when it comes to supermarket.
Mm.
You can not call even one Namibian supermarket which is dominating. I mean, it's everywhere. Apart from the north, I'm saying starting from the north to window, or going all the way to Kalas.
Mm.
We don't have that. Now we have foreigners are dominating that part, but where are we going to be in the next 5 years, if we are continuing this way?
That's what I was saying in the earlier topic, that I was saying, let's have that American strategy where we said America first. We have to have that Namibia first strategy. So for any big investment that comes in, we have certain things attached to that. So
yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we will be just spectators in our own economy.
And this committee, where every time they are coming up with a committee, we have a committee which fail us big time, what, A team or something.
Yeah.
I think we don't need any more new strategy and whatever. Let us take action like what the Minister of Transport is doing.
Yeah.
The Minister of Transport, because now is even advocating that, you know, it's a hard time the ministry go buy through the government store. Which is true indeed, it's supposed to be done. Now we come with a policy. That's how it's supposed to be. If you are just talking about the new strategy until we turn, come a new turnaround strategy, but we've been doing that for about 5 years. And it's not working. Action is better than talking.
Yeah.
You let us come up with a policy the way we're supposed to, like the minister was doing, because now they used to sideline government store, then they go to private. Instead of money to be circulating in the country, in the government also, Just imagine what, even if you are tendering a person to resign a receipt. You want to tell me that you can tender that one? You can even just give it to the student who are even in high school, not even the one in institution like a high level.
Yeah,
they can do it for you as you are tendering it. There are some feelings which really doesn't make sense in Namibia, where you are calling even a board member just because of you want to buy what make a lawyer. come on, man. These things need to be done with. And the policy must be created, policy where you ever mess up like that, you are going home.
Yeah.
Let me give other people a chance.
All right. No, thanks for coming through.
All right, man.
All right, great.
Sure.
So very good morning to you. This is Unpacking the Day. Our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 9, and we go up to 10 o'clock. So we still have a couple of minutes. We're still a couple, about 20 something, before we come to the end of our program. So our telephone number, 08333 66091. So that's the number you can call right here in the Ondangwa studio. So yeah, so what is your take? What is your contribution to our first the topic that we have? It's actually we were unpacking the story in the Villager. So that I said, well, if you still want to come to that, you know, if you want to go to that, you still can do that. And it's also, if you want to contribute to the, or react to the interview with Rebecca Shipepe, you can also do that. And that's the number, you know, you can dial. Now, I wanted to, before at the first item that we had, there are a few some takeaways that I wanted to just to add to our discussion, and also some takeaway from that discussion I had, and also the article is that the agency is real, as we were talking about earlier on, that the 58% of unemployment figures isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb, you know. It's a ticking time bomb, as they said. So we cannot afford more talking without immediate visible action. And I think the situation is really, really critical, and you can understand also the governor. So, secondly, I also said the regional investment committee is a tool, not a solution. So the real work is tackling the fundamental barriers. And what are those fundamental barriers? These are also things that we talked here in this one. It's poor infrastructure. We talk also in the this is also what Rebecca actually mentioned, bureaucracy. Access to finance, those are the really fundamental barriers. And if we can tackle those, if the investment committee can tackle those, so then, so infrastructure, poor infrastructure, as we know, roads and whatever. So bureaucracy, access to finance, those are the fundamental barriers. And we need a plan. We need a plan for, as we call, the potholes that we have, or the lack of medicines that we have, as much as we need a plan for the investors as well. As much as we have that, we need also a plan of how dealing with this, of those ones. So, and the other thing is also the benefit must be local. The benefit must be local. Of all this financing and investment, So the ultimate measure for me, the ultimate measure of success, it won't be how many millions of dollars are invested. That's not the ultimate measure of investment. It will be how many lives are changed for the better in Kavango West, for example, or in areas where these projects are being implemented. So we need to ensure that wealth is created, and more importantly, that it stays within the community. So, and accountability is everything. Accountability is everything. It's up to us. The media, the public, the people of as we earlier on, we talk about the people of Kavango West, the people wherever you are. So to hold our leaders and these new committees accountable. So in 6 months, in a year, we must ask, what has been achieved? How many jobs have been created? Which local businesses have you helped? So those, the potential of Kavango West is immense. And that's the same in other regions as well. But potential has been our story for 34 years. So that potential has been the story. So it is time for a new story. A story for progress, story for action. I think that's the way to go. So I think the call from the governor, Sinimbo, I just wanted to end that properly because I didn't finish it. It's the right one, you know, filled with hope and ambition. Our job is to meet that ambition, and to meet that ambition with tough questions and also with higher expectations. So, and maybe my question for you, that I'm asking, you know, if you were on that new investment committee for the Kavango West, what would be the very first problem you would solve? Not a 5-year plan, but one thing you would fix tomorrow to make a real difference. What would that be? So, I just wanted to finish that first item, you know. So, what would you do? So, and that's maybe the problem people have. So, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So, you can come through and have your reaction or your contribution on this two main topic or discussion we had so far.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, Namibia. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day, your go-to show where we dive deep into the stories shaping our world right here on Eagle FM. And we are coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. Wherever you're hearing us from, welcome. So what is our time? 47 minutes past 9. I didn't want to get into something else, but, you know, if you wanted to come through and on those aspects, on those what we have discussed so far, please do come through. We still have about 13 minutes, so still plenty for two or three more people to come through. Our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. All right. Or maybe let me go ahead. Maybe how far do I go with this one? So, you know, our president, our own president, and this was about something I needed to talk about yesterday. This is about the summit, the SADC summit. You know, our own very president, yes, the triple N, our trailblazing first female leader, steps onto the regional stage at the 45th SADC summit in Antananarivo in Madagascar. So she was pushing hard for food security, saying it's time, you know, it is time to turn words into action. So no home in Southern Africa goes hungry. So it's about time that we turn that into actions. And there's something about our president. There is this urgency, which is actually a good thing. Things has been, you know, maybe we have been laying back, you know. I think we reach a stage where things are critical, things are worse, that the urgency is actually needed. Whenever she talk about let's start now, not tomorrow, not just exactly what we're saying, not just having plans, not just having committees, you know, but let's start action. So. But this another summit full of probably not just another summit, actually full of handshakes and promises. Well, it could spark a real change for us here in Namibia as well. So, but we know SADC. So that's why we're doing this. We have unpacked this some speeches, unpacked these speeches and challenges, what being said. So that's why we're doing this, so that we can stir up some, you know, also some debate as well. So now let's look at some of the things. We have about 10 minutes, but you're most welcome to come through. OA 333, if you're just joining us, OA 333-66091. That's the number you can dial, and if you still want to actually contribute and have your say on some of what we have so far, what we discussed so far. So yeah, first off, a quick background, because context is a king. They say context is a king. Context is king, not a king. Context is king. The Southern African Development Community, you know, what we call SADC, is our regional family. You know, 16 countries aiming to boost regional growth and stability. So the grand plan for SADC is Vision 2050. Okay, this one is Vision 2050, not Vision 2030. So it's Vision 2050. It dreams of of peace. It dreams of inclusive. It dreams of competitive. And every country in that SADC to become a middle income, a middle to higher income industrialized region, you know? So, and we move, and we're going the other direction. Now, so if we become higher to middle to higher income industrialized regions, so where now every citizen enjoys economic well-being. That's the Vision 2050, that by Vision 2050, we still have enough time, we still have some time. So by then, every citizen in SADC enjoys economic well-being. So in short, our leaders promised, you know, our leader, you know, promised that by 2050, everyone will share in the benefit of our rich, resources and hard work. Okay. So the summit theme was even bigger. Okay. It was even bigger. Industrialization, agricultural transformation, and energy transition for a resilient SADC. You know? So industrialization, agricultural transformation, and energy transition for a resilient SADC. So we were just talking about energy, and we're probably in the right directions. So in other words, that actually saying 10 talk into action. So into action on jobs, into action on food, into action factories, into action of clean power. So that's what it means. 10 talk into action. So, but as a Namibian listeners, we have to ask, are these just lofty dreams, you know, on paper? Or does SADC really lift anyone out of hunger and joblessness? Does SADC really lift anyone out of hunger and joblessness? So we have speeches from Namibia, from Botswana, from Mauritius, from Zimbabwe, so we can actually dissect that. One aspect that comes out of this discussion is the SADC picture, the bigger picture. And I said the reality. What is the versus the reality? So you know that the SADC vision and objectives are, you know, as we said, are quite big. By 2050, all citizens should enjoy sustainable economic well-being, justice, and freedom. That is the bigger picture. And that sounds amazing, you know. And SADC promises development, peace, economic growth, and poverty alleviation. All this through regional integration on democratic and equitable grounds. So now on paper, as I said, that also echoes our own goals. You know, but in practice, SADC has often been very, very, very slow to act. For many years, for decades, our leaders have talked about unity and trade, yet many communities still actually suffer drought, poverty, unemployment, all of the countries in SADC, poverty and unemployment. Now, I want you to keep that vision. Keep this vision in mind as we hear what leaders are saying. So, are they moving towards that bright 2050? Okay? Or are they just delivering speeches? Okay? So, that as I said, keep this vision in mind as we hear what are they saying. So, are we coming closer to that 2050 dreams that we have, or it's just speeches? Now, one aspect is the food security, and this is actually coming from our president. So Namibian president, our Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, urged urgent cooperation so that food security is not just a goal on paper, but a reality in every home. So when we listen, to her in Antananarivo, I never got this right. Antananarivo. So when we listen, that sound inspiring, actually. So, but back home in Namibia, millions of people still go hungry. So millions of people, it's not thousands and thousands of people, actually go hungry. In fact, nearly 70% of Southern African, Southern African depend on farming to survive. Yet millions starve each year. Each year, we have millions and millions of people starving in SADC. So, and in this region, about 60 million people, roughly 17% of the population, are food insecure. They are food insecure, and this is according to the SADC Secretariat. So how can we talk Vision 2050 when homes are still face hunger? That's the question our president and others raised. So they called for turning commitment into actions. So, and the summit asked, is SADC willing to invest in agriculture? Is SADC, are the money, is that SADC, ready, willing to invest in agriculture, share technology, and handle climate change? Or will we keep exporting raw minerals, and importing our flour, as one Zimbabwean leader lamented, said? So we import flour. And also our president's speech tied all this to history. Invoking Namibia founding father as well, Sam Nujoma, and his legacy of unity. So it was meant to inspire Namibian pride, really. So, but notice, she didn't spell out how Namibian itself is actually tackling food crisis right now. So actually, instead, she joined with others saying, we must work together. With urgency, that's what I'm talking, with urgency and compassion. With compassion to make sure, to make food security real. So, and that's a rallying cry. It's a rallying cry, but we should ask, what concrete steps? And for SADC, what are concrete steps on the table? What are the concrete steps on the table? Is there money for our farmers? Will SADC fund support will they support irrigation? Will Namibian maize ever make it across the border to help feed neighbors, or vice versa? These are the hidden questions behind those speeches. So, yeah, well. And actually, that bring us right to the end of our discussion this morning, of this episode of Unpacking the Day. So we still have another day tomorrow. Let's do that again tomorrow at the same time, from 8 to 10, and on the same station here on Eagle FM. So from me, I will leave you now, and don't despair, because you will be in much, much better hands than my hands, I think. so of Mr. Franz is coming up with Kuthamosha. Well, stay tuned for that program coming up now. So for me, let's make that appointment again tomorrow at that time, at the usual time. Let's meet where we meet each other. So goodbye for now. Thank you.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na alonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni yaji. Eagle FM, the eye.